Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see you. So many faces coming back from being on holiday, traveling, and so it's good to see you. I think we should figure out how to do the fans in unison. I think it would cool us off more if we could get everybody on the same. No, it's good to see you. Thanks for coming, even though it is hot. It is hot, hot, hot. You walk outside for like 30 seconds, drenched. So, but hey, welcome back to wonderful, sunny Discovery Bay. And so this morning we're talking about a really important topic, and it is sharing good news. And so as we start, I want to begin with a little exercise, okay? And here's the exercise. I want you to imagine that your phone buzzes, or you get a person who leans over to you and whispers in your ear, and they say, "Guess what?" And then you open your phone or they speak to you and they tell you something that's the most amazing news ever, okay? So I want you to think for a second, individually, just on your own, don't tell anybody else, what would you love to hear? What would that good news be that someone would whisper in your ear or you would see pop up on your phone, okay? So think about that for just a second. Really, really good news. I expected to see more smiles because you're thinking about this amazing. Okay, so here's what we want to do now. What we want to do is we want you to tell at least two people around you what your good news was, right? And then later on, we're going to see some people say their news would have been really good, all right? We're going to share, but take a second and share that good news that you would have liked to have heard with someone around you, okay? Go for it. At least two people. Okay, now I'm seeing some smiles. I like it. Okay, so who will share what either their good news was that everybody said yeah, or you heard from someone else and they'll let you tell them? Who has something? Yes. $1 million. Anybody else? That was yours. Raise your hand. Okay, yeah, right here, a couple around. Good, thank you. Somebody else? What was the good news? Yes. Ah, 45? Oh, 4 to 5. Okay, I don't know how big you want them. Okay, surfing waves. That'd be good news, wouldn't it? Craig would not be in church. We love God, but we're going to, how often does it happen, right? No, good stuff. All right, what else? Some more good news. Surely there's good things you would like to happen, right? Anybody else? A little bit louder. Ooh, keys to a house on CB Lane. Okay, very good. Let me tell you what mine was. I'm kidding. My wife won't let me tell you what mine was. All right, somebody else. Come on. Yes.
That my eldest sister's problems have suddenly disappeared.
Your
who? My eldest sister's problems that have been ongoing for more than 20 years.
Okay, you have a sister who has 20-year stuff, and it's resolved, just gone. Maybe some of you have that. Maybe there's a court case or this whatever that's in limbo, just done, right? So we can think of good things that we would like to happen, and then whenever we think about that, it's not hard, really, to tell somebody close to you, man, this would be really great. Let me tell you some good news. Or if that thing indeed happened, right? If you got the keys to the house, if you got the $1 million, if the person, you know, had all the problems resolved. If that thing happened, you wouldn't be shy about telling the person, hey, guess what? you would tell good news. We like to tell good news because we're excited about it, all right? And so this morning we're talking about sharing good news. The word gospel just means good news. And I think a lot of times in our churches we talk about, look, we need to share the gospel. We need to get the gospel out there. We freeze up and we think, oh no, that's weird, that's scary. But if we just take the word gospel and break it into what it actually means, good news, and we just talk about, look, let's share good news, I think that can help us a little bit to think about, you know what, we have good news. Why wouldn't we want to tell people? And so here's where it gets a little uncomfortable. What is our good news? Well, the problem is you have to have some bad situation that is resolved, like we just said with the sister, or need more money, or the house, or whatever. And so if you don't have a bad situation, you're not as motivated about the good news. And so we don't like to talk about the bad news, though, because what is the real bad news that we're talking about in this realm? What's the bad news? What is this place? Who's going there? Everybody who doesn't know Jesus. Okay, and I wonder if we actually believe that sometimes, because we're not very motivated, and we're like, I think hell, I'm not sure if that's real or not. But if we really believe that there is a place called hell, and that all of us are going there by default because we're sinners, we've rebelled against God, then the fact that there's a way to get to this place, heaven, is good news. And we should be happy to tell people, look, you don't have to go to hell. You get to go to heaven. And they may say to you, you're weird. Okay, fine, but I just wanted to tell you, you don't have to go to hell. Right now, see, it's just weird, isn't it? We're like, yeah, but that's not the same as talking about my favorite team or talking about that new recipe or talking about that dress or that whatever. But really, if we care about people, then we have to be excited, I think, about sharing good news. In fact, there are a couple of assumptions that I'm beginning with today as we go into this, because I want to get practical. I'm really thankful for some things that have been shared recently, and I'll come back to that in just a minute. But there are, I admit, a couple of assumptions that I'm just starting from. The first assumption is just that you care, okay? And you can't necessarily think that everybody does care, but here's the idea. People are lost and going to hell. That should do something in our hearts, and we should care. So this is a whole separate message or even series that I don't have time for today. But I'm assuming you care that people are destined for hell. That's the first assumption. And the second assumption is this one, that you're praying. Because in this whole idea of helping people move from a spiritual state of death to a spiritual state of life, prayer is key. And so I'm assuming these two things. And so again, this is a whole different sermon or series of how we would be motivated and reminded that prayer is essential to this whole exercise of sharing the good news with other people. And so we have to be soft in our hearts, have compassion, and we have to be praying. But what are we talking about here? When we talk about sharing good news, and what am I proposing and encouraging us to think about today? Am I saying that you should be like this guy out there on the streets, right? So has anybody seen one of these people live before? Okay, yeah. How does that go? I'm going to give you an example, so if the volume needs to come down, Josh, whatever. But I'm going to give an example of how this goes, right? Repent! Turn or burn! You're going to hell! Repent! Okay, so that's this guy, right? So that's one extreme. Is that what I'm saying? Not necessarily. Okay, not necessarily. Let me show you the other extreme. Some of us have this idea. When we put on a cross chain, we're being a witness for Jesus, right? People are going to get saved because I put this cross on this morning, right? So that's all the way over here on this side. Now, am I saying that it's wrong to wear? Absolutely not. Please do. I think it's a great possibility for a conversation starter. But I'm not talking about, look, if you just put a cross on, that's enough. You've done your duty as a Christian. And I'm also not saying that you necessarily need to be the guy on the street who's out there yelling at everybody. Okay? Do you feel better? Or you're like, I don't know. You're scaring me, Danny.
Oh, this is such a funny topic. I mean, it's everybody's like, ooh, I don't know, sharing this Jesus. Isn't he the best news ever? So maybe we need to be more excited about this good news that we have. So what am I saying? We're not just going to say nothing over here, and we're not going to be crazy like rabid yelling at people over here. So what should we say? Well, I have a great answer. It is, it depends. How do you like that for a nice, safe answer for me? Here's a graph to show you how much you need to say. Do you feel better now? Okay, let's move on. No. Here's the idea. It depends. It depends on the person you're talking to. You see, whenever you are thinking about should I say something or not, you have to think about who you're talking to, right? So if it's a person that you're sitting next to on the airplane, right? How many more times will you see this person most likely? Zero. Most likely you will never see this person again, okay? So can you just wear the necklace and hope that they get it in that situation? They're not going to hear what you say because you didn't say anything, right? Now, what about a person that you live with every single day, like your spouse or your coworker, someone you're around all the time? Can you be like the preacher with these people? You will wear them out, right? So that's why there's this slope. If you have less time with them, you need more words. If you have more time with them, you need fewer words. You get what I'm saying? You see, if you're with a person all the time, they do watch you. And you still have to say something, but not as much. You see, how do people become believers? Here's the question. How do people become believers based on your presence in their life? If you are a really good neighbor, does being a good neighbor save somebody? They see that you're just the best flat, you know, with the same floor. Man, they are great neighbors. Jesus, save me. Is that how it works? No, it doesn't. What about being a good employee? You're the employee of the month. Everybody's like, man, that guy's really good. Jesus, save me. No. And we had this idea, if we're nice people, what about having strong morals? They see you make the right decision when you have a choice to do something right or wrong. You make the right choice. Does that help people? He made the right choice. Jesus, no. One more. If you are friends with unsaved people, people who are not followers of Jesus, if you're friends with them and you hang around them, well, they automatically say, Jesus, save me. They have to, see, you can't, the amount of words never goes to zero. You still have to say something. Okay, so you can't be just I got a chain on, they must know that Jesus loves them. No, you got to tell them, Jesus loves you. And then they can process that. But we have to use our words. And I know that sometimes that's uncomfortable for us. But if we think about it and we work on it and we begin to practice it, we can do this. Let me be really honest with you. Okay, and this is difficult as a pastor for me to say. I'm not good at this. I'm not. I much prefer to get up here and open the Bible and talk about the cool stuff. I much prefer to teach. One-on-one, out on the street, spur of the moment, I'm so uncomfortable. Okay? Now, some of you, like Trevor, for instance, Trevor's good at this. He's great. And others of you, you enjoy the moment. You think quick on your feet and you're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And you enjoy that. But all of us are called to this. All of us are. And so we have to hone the skills and we have to practice and we have to think about it. And so we have to also be careful whenever we go into this that we have the ultimate motive correct and not the ulterior motive. What's the difference, right? The ultimate motive is, here's our desire. We want you to know Jesus. That's the ultimate motive. And so we're going to be talking in this conversation. We're going to be relating in these ways so that you can know Jesus. Okay? That's the ultimate motive. Not the ulterior motive, which is, I'm going to go tell somebody at church that I saved somebody. And I've seen people say that. Yeah, we saved three people. It's like, oh, no, you didn't save anybody. Right? And so we don't want to have an ulterior motive. The only reason I'm hanging out with you is just so I can go back and tell. No. And people will see straight through that. You know, as our church, Trevor said, as elders, we sat down and said, okay, look, what are we doing? What's the point of us being a church? And we said, you know what? People need to know Jesus. That's one of the main things that we're here for. Jesus said, go make disciples. And so we need to be thinking about that. And so we set a goal. We said, look, 20. We want to see 20 new believers through the ministries of the church by our AGM 2020. Okay? That's a tall order. It's a tall task. We haven't, that's a lot, 20. You may say, hey, there's 20,000 people in DB. Surely, let's do 100, please. Let's go. But let's do 20 at least. Right? And so, but if we're thinking, you know what, the only reason I'm talking to this person is just so I can go and say, hey, we got one. Let's get 19 now. That's ulterior, right? So we want to make sure that we're focused on the right things, but in a conversation, we really have to care about the person and them coming to know Jesus. That's the goal. And we're willing to be patient. We're not trying to hurry and push them, right? So we really have to make sure we check our hearts. Because here's what happens. Right? I mean, people can sniff out an ulterior motive fast. Especially if they've been in any kind of Christian culture, right? Now, people who are from a pre-Christian culture, like a lot of people maybe in Asia or other places around, they haven't heard the gospel a lot. They may be, you know, a little more vulnerable to this, but anybody who's been around church, they're going to be like, I think I know you're working on me, so you can, you know, they'll sniff it out. And so we really have to be careful. The other thing we have to remember is that this isn't our action. This isn't our actual job. Now, we do have a duty. We have a responsibility to share the good news, but we don't save anybody, right? We can't walk anybody through a certain little magical chant, and that's it. God is the one who does it, and it's a mystery. We don't understand exactly how it all happens and when it all happens. In fact, if I asked you, tell me about the time when you came to know Jesus, I can tell you the time for me, but how it happened and what Jesus and the Holy Spirit, I don't know all of the pieces of what happened. It's a mystery. And so for us to say, here's exactly how we're going to do it, it's a little arrogant, really. We want to do our part, but God is the one who saves people. Jesus is the one who died for them. The Holy Spirit moves in their heart, and God is the one who calls them to himself. And so we have to remember there's a lot more going on here than just, hey, walk through it, and it's going to be easy, bam, bam, bam. So the verse that comes to mind here is one in 1 Peter chapter 3. Peter's talking about a number of things, but he comes to this point, and he says, in your hearts, honor Christ as Lord and as holy. And he says, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. And so here's really where we're heading. Be prepared. Always be prepared. At any moment when someone comes up to you and says, hey, I noticed you're wearing a cross. What does that mean? Hey, I noticed you're the employee of the month. What motivates you? Hey, I noticed whatever, right? And you have a conversation. Be prepared. Now, here's the thing. The word prepared has this P-R-E at the beginning. What does pre mean? What does pre mean? Before. So if we're going to be prepared, we have to do it before it happens. So that's really where I'm headed today, is for us to think about this and be ready. So when it happens, we are prepared. We are ready to share a reason for the hope that is in us with gentleness and with respect. And we're going to talk about that along the way. So as an example, we're going to look at Jesus and how he interacted with the woman at the well. And we're not going to walk through the passage because there's so much to it. It's actually one of our encounters with Jesus, which we'll do at a later date. But I want to look at the technique and the steps that Jesus walked through, and we want to model and imitate that. And so what we have really is five C's, okay? So here are these five C's, and you can use your hand to remember five C's, all right? The first one is common. You can use your thumb for common. Everybody has a thumb, right? Everybody has a thumb? So common. We have a thumb in common. All right, the next one here is a conversation. When you're in a conversation, it's you and another person. So common, conversation. Conviction is the middle finger. Now, if you make a gesture with just your middle finger, you're going to be in trouble, right? So that's conviction, the tall finger. The next finger here is what we call the ring finger. A lot of cultures have a wedding band on that one. So it's about relationship with Christ. So that's the Christ finger there. And then the last one here is the call. So whenever you're pretending to make a phone call with your hand, this is down by your mouth, the pinky, right? So in common, conversation, conviction, Christ, call, these five C's. Let's walk through and see how this works. So Jesus, whenever he is interacting with this lady, here are the steps and here's how it goes. So first of all, he's at the well. The lady walks up and she's drawing water. Nobody's saying anything. But Jesus breaks the ice and he says, "Will you give me a drink? Will you give me a drink?" Boom. Now they're in conversation. He crossed the first line. He began to engage with this person. And that's what we have to do. And then what does she say back to him? She says, "You're talking to me, right?" But they're in. And Jesus started it. And so we have to be that way. You know, whether it's a person at work or whatever, you start with something in common. You begin the conversation. All right, the next one. Turn the conversation. So Jesus says, "Hey, give me some water." And she says, "You're talking to me? You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. And what's the deal?" He said, "You know what? If you knew what was going on here, you would ask me for living water." Okay? Water and living water. What has Jesus just done? He's turned the conversation. He's turned the conversation. He went from just talking about the physical things, now he's talking about spiritual things. And we have to get good at this. This is not easy. It doesn't necessarily come naturally for us to turn the conversation. Now, it's very important at this point to see how they respond. Okay? So he says to her, "If you ask me, I could give you living water." He throws it out there. She says, "You don't even have a bucket. How are you going to give me anything, buddy?" Right? She's still in. Okay? She's still in the conversation, and so Jesus can move forward. So that's what we have to do as well, the test. And so Jesus is testing. He sends something out there. If she responds, he can move forward. If she doesn't respond, if she just looks at him weird, being like, "Living water? Whatever, here's some water for you. You're strange." Jesus doesn't pursue her and say, no, I got things I gotta tell you. No, stop," right? So we don't do that either. We learn, look, test. You turn the conversation. If they take it, move forward to the next thing. If they don't, please stop. Please. If a person's not receptive, if you push forward, you'll actually push them away from the gospel many times, okay? So we have to be sensitive. So he throws out this turning of the conversation to something else, and then she responds. And so what I want to do for just a minute, before I do that, so before we move on, Trevor Smith, he spoke a few weeks ago about being bold, and so he's going to come and help me. On his way down, I want to review a few of the things that he shared whenever he spoke. I loved it. So one of the things he said is you have to raise the flag early. Maybe you remember this. He said whenever you're around people, let them know early where you stand, and that'll be an opportunity for you to be able to engage with them later. He also asked a great question, which I think is fantastic. He said, "What do you have to lose?" When you talk to people about the good news, what do you have to lose? Throw it out there. So a brave person would say that. Most of us who are maybe shy are like, "I have a lot to lose. I would feel bad," right? No. Put your feelings aside. What do you have to lose? And just be brave. Another thing he said that was fantastic was that we have an unfair advantage in the Holy Spirit. We have the power that's in us. In fact, Acts 1:8 says this, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." And so as believers with the Holy Spirit, we have power to do this. And so you're worried. You're thinking, "Man, I don't know if I can pull this together." Hey, the Holy Spirit is inside of you. If you're a believer with the Holy Spirit will help you. He will tell you what to say. And so he says the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and then you'll be witnesses in these different places. And so the Holy Spirit is key. We need him. The person who's listening needs the Holy Spirit as well. So Trevor, please help me welcome Trevor Smith. Thank you, Trevor. Let me give you a microphone. Did you have one already? Perfect. All right, okay. He's ready. Thank you for helping. I appreciate it. So, man, great job with the Be Bold message. I really enjoyed and appreciate you putting that together.
Thank you.
People are telling me, "Hey, you need to be as good as this guy." So you're putting pressure on me. I love it. So, what I wanted to do just for a second is to just practice this idea of turning the conversation. Okay, so just from normal things to put it out there where there's now spiritual things involved. Okay, so let me give you an example first of what not to do. Okay, this is what not to do if you're going to try to turn the conversation to spiritual things. All right, here we go. Action. "Hey, Trevor, how are you, sir?"
"Hey. Bye, thank you."
"Hey, I see that you're wearing shoes."
Yeah.
Would Shu like for me to tell you about Jesus?
Not really.
Yes, okay. So stop, cut, no more, right? Please, don't do that. Now, if you're funny enough to pull that off, fantastic, okay? But don't do weird stuff. People are going to think you're strange from the beginning, right? Okay. All right, so now we're going to do some real ones, all right? So this is the situation. I've just moved to Discovery Bay. I'm in the same building area. My name is Bob. And so Trevor engages with me because I'm moving in here in Discovery Bay. Are you ready? Action.
Hey, Bob. Hi, I'm Trevor. I live at number 3 just along the hallway.
Oh, right over here. Good to meet you. Yeah, I saw you walking by a while ago.
Yeah, I saw you moving in. Just thought I'd pop by and say, you know, like, welcome to the neighborhood and so on.
Thank you. Is it always this hot?
It is this time of year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Hey, look, I just wondered, you know, seeing as you're new, I wondered, do you have much of a friendship network and so on? I mean, I guess,
no.
Well, where are you from, first of all?
Well, yeah, we just got here, so we're still trying to figure out our way. No, actually, Toronto just came from Toronto, so.
Oh, we love Toronto. Our daughter's just moved from Toronto back
really?
To the UK, but she was there for a few years. Yeah, love it.
Did she like it?
Oh, she loved it.
Okay.
We went there as well. I've got relatives in Canada. We love Canadians.
Oh,
you know,
well,
we
good.
British, we love Canadians.
Well, good. Well, here we are. Don't hug too much. It's too hot. Okay, yeah. Sorry, I'm sweaty.
That's
so good. Toronto's fantastic. Where are you from? You said UK?
UK originally, yeah. Oh. But been here about 18 years.
18?
Yeah.
Oh, perfect. Now I know who to ask.
Well,
any questions?
Do you have many friends in Hong Kong?
You know, we have some guys that we're working with, but yeah, we're just meeting new people. So yeah, thank you. You're number one. Sorry.
Great.
You're my best friend now. No,
well, I don't mind. Look, you know, we live just along there. If you need anything, just knock on the door.
But okay, I appreciate it, man.
We have a great network of friends here, and we actually go to a church in D.C., Discovery College.
Yeah?
And it's a great bunch of people. And we also have a home group, which meets on our kind of a Tuesday. Look, I mean, if you're looking to build a bit of a network with you and your partner, I see you have kids. You know, we have a great kids group on Sunday. Have you thought about maybe, would you like to come along? I'm happy to come over with you one Sunday.
Cut. Do you see what he did? Now, he went there, right? He went there. He didn't just say, well, have a good time. Nice to meet you. Enjoy. Welcome to the neighborhood. He actually went and said, hey, I go to a church. Do you want to come? Now, I could say, oh, man, cool, thank you for that. I could kind of walk away, and then he doesn't push, right? Or I could continue on, and we're not going to do that. We're not going to play that out the whole way, but I just wanted you to see what he did. All right, so he's in there. He's decided ahead of time, if I have the chance, I'm going to invite him to church. You see that? Give Trevor a hand. Good job, Trevor. Yeah?
Thank you.
Oh, no, you're not done yet. We got to do one more.
We're not that well rehearsed.
It's my turn. Okay, so here's the scenario. So now, this actually happened a few days ago. So I'm in Hong Kong, right, in Central, and I'm in a shop trying to buy something, a little shop right there. And so I'm checking out, and this is the guy at the register. Okay? So, action.
Okay. It's $50 per
50? Okay, there we go. Thank you, sir. How are you today?
It's really bad in Hong Kong at the moment.
Yeah? It is a mess. But I tell you, I think Hong Kong's going to be okay. I actually think it is.
Really? Why is that?
Well, I believe God loves Hong Kong, and God has a plan for Hong Kong. Cut.
Okay.
You see what I did? I went there. Now, in real life, I didn't. All right, let's give Trevor a hand. Thank you, Trevor. Appreciate it. Thank you. You see, this is not easy. I'm telling you. I'm even the preacher who's going to preach about this in a few days. And I'm there with this guy, and he said, Hong Kong is not okay. And I was like, he walked off. And I was like, oh, right? And so, I mean, I missed it, but next time I'll be ready. All right, so here's this idea. It's just that we're always prepared. We're looking for a way not to be mean, not to be weird. Please don't be weird. Jesus is not weird. And if we're weird, they think he's weird. Okay, so please don't be weird, but be nice. So for someone who's really hurting about Hong Kong and say, you know what? I really believe that God has a plan for Hong Kong. That's good news. And he may say, I hope you're right, and continue on. Or he may say, really? And that's where we go next. Okay, so again, as you turn the conversation, you're trying to see what are they saying? So thank you for the examples, for helping me, Trevor. So back to the story with Jesus and the woman at the well. And so he says, if you knew, you would ask me to give you living water. She says, you don't even have a bucket. How are you going to do that? And then he says this, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. And so he just goes straight into it. He's turned the conversation now, but now he's doing the next step, and he is checking for conviction. Okay, so he says to her, everybody that has this water is going to be thirsty again, but the water that I give is going to make them live forever. They'll never be thirsty again, right? So he's beginning to try to have a conversation with her about this. Now he's still speaking in some words that are a little mysterious for her. But he says, look, this water's amazing. You should try it. You'll never have to come here again. She says, I want this water. I want this water. How can I get it? Okay? So that's how the conversation is going. She's still with him. Okay? He doesn't keep pushing when she's not. She's still with him. And here's what Jesus says. It's amazing. He says, go call your husband. Remember this? He says to this woman, go call your husband. And she says this, I don't have a husband. And then Jesus says this, you're right in saying you don't have a husband. Because in fact, you've had five husbands. And the man you're with now isn't your husband. So you've spoken correctly. Oh, you just met her. Jesus, how can you go there? We won't go there with our close friends, much less a stranger. Jesus, you went there. Isn't sex okay? Jesus, look, people do it. It happens all the time. Leave the woman alone. He's checking for conviction. He's saying, is her heart soft? Does she know that something's not right? He's checking for conviction. And so he says to her, go and call your husband. And whoa, that one is not easy. A few days ago, I was over in Tung Chung, and I had left a meeting. I was walking out of one of the residential buildings on one of the walkways. And as I walked out the lift, I turned left. There was another guy, and we were going the same pace. We were both like, I got to get to that station. We're going to catch the bus. I got things to do, places to go, people to see, right? We're going. So I'm like, and he's, and we looked at each other, and I thought maybe I've seen him before. And he looked at me, and I could tell he thought maybe I've seen him before. And we're kind of like, yeah. And so then we're walking right beside each other, and he was like, hey, how are you? I was like, good, how are you? We're walking, man. We're the same pace. It's perfect, right? And he's like, oh, so are you a pilot? I was like, no, actually, I'm a pastor. See, I have an unfair advantage as well, right? Because every time somebody says, what do? I work at church. How about you, right? You don't have that, so I have an unfair advantage. But I don't have as many people around me that are lost as you do, so it's a trade-off. All right, so this guy, we're walking down, right? And he's like, I'm a pastor. And he's like, oh, cool. So I said, well, what about you? I didn't go there right away, right? I'm a pastor. What do? Well, I'm a pilot. Okay, cool. What do you fly? Well, actually, I fly a rescue for the city. Like, really? That's cool, man. So like helicopters then. Yes, helicopters. Man, you're a stud, right? And he was a stud, right? So we're walking along. Not that you fixed wing guys aren't. I mean, you're studs too. I get in trouble so easy here, right? So we're walking along and he's telling me about rescuing people. He said, you know, you wouldn't believe the people who call in to be rescued. They're just tired. They're in no danger. They just don't want to walk all the way back down the hill. So they'll call in, hey, I'm in distress. And so the guys come in. He said, actually, somebody the other day called in to be rescued. They go and they pick him up off the mountain. And the guy says, hey, that parking lot over there is where my car is. Can you drop me over there? And he's like, no, sir, you're going to the hospital. So it's funny. We're having a great conversation. He's talking about his stuff. I'm like, oh, that's really cool. And then he was like, so this church that you're at, where is it? Well, it's in Discovery Bay. So yeah, I've been there. We just moved about a year ago. So enjoying it. Do you go to church? Boom, right? So I've turned the conversation now, right? It's easy though, because it's already come up earlier. Do you go to church? No, I don't go to church. Well, do you believe in God? I'm in, right? Do you believe in God? No, I don't believe in God. I don't know about all that stuff. And so he was kind of pushing back a little bit, right? And again, I'm telling you my failure stories. What I wish I had said was this. You know what? I think it's so fascinating that you're a rescue guy, because Jesus was a rescue guy, right? But the difference between you and him is, like, everybody that calls you doesn't need to be rescued, but everybody does need to be rescued by Jesus, right? I wish I'd said that. Wouldn't that have been cool, right? I thought about that like 3 days later after really working. I'm telling you, I'm not good at this, and so you have to work on it, right? So I wish I would have said that and then seen what he said, right? So as it was, just to finish the story, the elevator for me, the escalator went this way, and he was going that way. I was like, nice to meet you. I'll see you again sometimes. I can tell you what his name is, but I don't. I don't want to blow that. Maybe we'll have a cool story later on when I meet him again. Or maybe I'll just call to be rescued and see what happens, right? So we went our separate ways, and that was how that conversation went. I don't know where God will take that, but that's where that one went. And we have to understand, this is not all in one moment. Okay? But what I wish I would have said was this thing about Jesus rescues everyone and they need to be rescued, and seeing what he said. If he had said, I don't think so, I'm pretty good. Then we could do the next thing, checking for conviction. So here's what I want to share with you is a way that you can check for conviction and see if people are in or not. Because the Spirit has to take them to the place where they're ready to say, I need help. If they don't feel like they need help, then what you're offering is not good news. Okay? But the Spirit is, man, that's his deal. He convicts people of sin. And so if people are under conviction, then we can know, hey, let's move forward with the good news. And so here's what I want to share with you. Maybe you've heard of the old, what would Jesus do? WWJD. Remember that? Long time ago. So here's a little trick for you to check to see if people are, in fact, understanding of their need. It's WDJD. Okay? And here's what it stands for. The first, the W is just, would you say that you're a good person? Okay? Now, I put the whole thing up there at once. None of you are listening to me. I'm going to give you 10 seconds. To say, okay, it's there. Now come back to me. All right. So the W is, would you say that you're a good person? So I could have said this to this pilot. It's like, I don't need God. Oh, well, would you say you're a good person? I'm a pretty good person. Really? Okay. Well, why would you say that? Well, I haven't killed anybody. That's what I've heard the most in this conversation. I haven't killed anybody, right? I haven't robbed any banks. So people will say stuff like that, right? So then you come to the next one. Well, do you think that you've followed the Ten Commandments? I'm just, that's the D. Do you think that you have followed the Ten Commandments pretty well? Yeah, I think I have. Okay. Do you know what they are? Tell me a couple of the Ten Commandments that you remember. Don't murder. Good. So have you done that? No? Okay. Did you know that Jesus said, if you think angry thoughts, you're actually guilty of breaking that one. Have you ever been angry at someone? Yeah? Okay. Well, there you go. That one. What's another one? Don't steal anything. Okay, well, have you ever stolen anything? Well, yeah, I have broken that one. Okay. Almost everybody will confess, right? What's another one? I don't remember my... Well, I can tell you another one. Another one is don't lie. Have you ever lied before? Oh, yeah, I've lied before too. Oh, okay. Well, and you could go through, you could say, hey, commit adultery. Oh, I haven't committed adultery. Well, Jesus said if you've thought lustful thoughts, you've broken this one. So, okay, yeah, I'm guilty of that one too. Okay, so you see what's happening. Say, so the next one is if God judged you, the J then. So if God judged you by the Ten Commandments, would you be innocent or guilty? And they just confessed to breaking four of them, or five or six of them, right? So now they'd have to say, I guess I'd be guilty after all. Right? And that's not fun, but it's like, that's what Jesus did with this woman. He said, look, go call your husband. I don't have a husband. Yeah, you're right, you have five. And now you're not even, no. But you have to get them to that point for them to see it. And you say, that's not very loving. No, that's very loving. Because how can you help them know the truth if you don't help them see their need, right? And so then the last one here is, based on this, do you think if God judged you and you said you're guilty, do you think you're headed to heaven or hell? You know, where are you headed based on what you've told me? Well, and they're not going to want to say it, right? But you've put it out there for them. And now they're thinking, well, maybe I do have a problem, okay? So then if you've gotten to that point, again, if these people are weird, I'm saying, look, you're weird. If they're thinking, I don't like it, you stop. Okay, if they're not with you on this, you stop. But if they're still with you, then you continue on to the next thing. And the next one is sharing Christ. Present the good news of Christ. How did that work with Jesus and this woman? Well, again, the conversation is going back and forth, and she says, if you know all about my past, then you must be a prophet. And he says, okay. And so she asked him a question. Well, are we supposed to worship here? Are we supposed to worship there? When she's trying to go, you know, sidetrack, chase a rabbit. And so he answers her question very quickly, but then he says, look, you can have salvation. She said, well, when the Messiah comes, he's going to fix everything. And Jesus says, I'm the one. I am he. And then her eyes get wide, and then the disciples come up, and she runs off. But we know that she believes in him because she goes and tells everybody else, hey, guess what? The Messiah is here. He's out there. I met him at the well. So this woman becomes a follower of Jesus based on this progression. And it feels weird, but this is how people get saved. I know for me, there's a process, and you have to come to the place where you realize you have a need. Now, so whenever we come to sharing the good news about Christ, man, there's a couple of things that we need to know. First of all, deflect distractions. Again, this woman, she had these different things she wanted to bring up. Jesus quickly dealt with those and came back, right? So someone, whenever you begin to say, look, okay, I have good news for you, they may say, well, if God is so good, why is there so much evil in the world, right? They may begin to throw out these big questions, these philosophical things, and they're just really trying to deflect because they're not sure. Now, again, test, and you can give them an answer and then bring it back, but if they're not listening, don't push through. But you can try to, deflect the distractions and the rabbit trails and get back to the main thing. Now, how can you share your faith? Now, there's a number of things, and I don't have time to go into these in detail. But you can use your testimony. A few minutes ago, we sang, we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb, which is the story of Jesus, and the word of our testimony, how he has changed our lives. This is probably the single most important thing you have in your tool belt. Talk about Jesus and talk about how he's changed your life, because they can't argue with that. So share your testimony. That's one option. Another one is to use a track or a guide. Whenever we see a track, it's one of these little pieces of paper. Trevor, even this morning, he gave me one that's in Cantonese, right? So whenever he has a taxi, he says, you know what? Here's the money, and here's something else for you to read whenever you're sitting there waiting for the next person. Fantastic, right? So if you can get some maybe Cantonese tracks, you could use that little technique as well. Here's another one, and we have these two outside on the table at the entry. And so if you'd like to grab one or two to use, I encourage you to do that. Don't just take them and look at them and throw them in the trash, please. So if you want to use them, fantastic. That's what they're purchased and put out there for. But this one's called Steps to Peace with God. And the great thing, Ellie, would you come here real quick? Just help me out. All right. So the cool thing is I could do this. Here's something for you to read at a later time. Hope you enjoy that. Good to meet you, right? And so you could do that if you don't have time. You could just hand it to them. And sometimes that's a fantastic thing, like Trevor was saying with the taxi driver, right? But what's really cool is, so heaven or hell, right? We don't want to go to hell. So let me show you some good news, right? So let me just share this with you. So if you just look at this, the first thing we look at here is God's purpose is for us to have peace in life. And so you do it with them. Just walk through and point to it. And or maybe if you get really, you really prepare, let them do it, right? So you're holding it. You can hold it there. And if you're really good, you know, whenever you do things upside down, people are impressed, right? So you're like, so this one says, I can't even read it. The problem, I should prepare, right? Our separation, right? And so you see over here, we're on this side and God's on this side, and you just walk through it with them, right? And then maybe they walk off, but again, you just have the conversations. But it's something that they can take with them. That's the beautiful thing about a track. They can take it with them. So we live at the same house. Maybe we can share one later. Okay, all right, thank you. So this is one, you know, I'll give it to you. We live at the same house, so you keep it. All right, so there's one. Now this one, here's the problem. This is my favorite one. It's the same one, but it's on this cool little paper folding deal, right? So the first step is that God loves you, and then you fold it. But there's a problem. We have separation from him, and you fold it again. Whoa, but there's a cross. Jesus gave us the answer. So now all we have to do is trust in the gift that he's given in Jesus, and then we can be saved, and you're back at the beginning again. Oh, that's cool, right? So this is my favorite one because it's like, because I'm an engineer type, right? And so I'm like, look at this, man. Isn't that cool? You can fold it up, right? So it's like cool and cool. Good news in a cool way. So those are out there as well. I suspect that these will all be gone whenever I get there later on. But take it and use it with somebody, right? So there's a way you can use a track. Here's another one here called Life, Three Circles. So here's, guys, you can't do it my way and I can't do it. Each one of us have to prepare and think, okay, if I'm going to share the good news with someone, how am I going to do it? How do I feel comfortable doing it? Really, even more than a track, my favorite way is to use a guide, and that's called one-verse evangelism. So on a napkin, I would draw out the thing. I use Romans 6:23, and I draw it out. I use it in the new members class. And so to me, that's my favorite way because it's very interactive, right? But you have to figure out how you would do it, all right? So we find a way. Once we are there with a person, they're listening, then we share the good news, and we find our way, our method of how we would like to do that. Use scriptures, another thing that's there. If you have scriptures memorized or if you have a piece of paper where it's printed out, and again, you can hand it to them and they can take it with them, that's fantastic, okay? And so then as we're rounding here, so the last part is this call to follow Jesus, okay? And you just say, look, is that something you feel like you're ready to do? You know, now, how many of you here are good at selling things? Raise your hand, be honest. Trevor, I know you're good at selling things. You gotta raise your hand, right? Okay, good, right here, here, who else? Just be honest. Okay, thank you. Come on, guys, you gotta be honest. Okay, thank you, yes, Brandon. All right, so guys, listen, most of us are not good at selling things. Like, I feel bad. Here's the crazy thing. I want people to not go to hell, but to go to heaven, and I feel bad telling them that, right? What's wrong with you, okay? So I need to hear my own message, but the idea is, look, do you want to receive that gift of salvation? You have to call them to that, okay, and invite them to. Now, again, they may say, let me think about that, and that's fine. For me, I grew up in church, guys. I grew up in church, and it took years of hearing the gospel and being invited, you know, just as I am without one plea.
How many times did I hear that song, right? Time after time he has waited before. Now he's waiting again. Oh, poor Jesus is waiting for me. Oh, to see if you're willing to open the door, right? So these songs, these invitation songs, I grew up with that, and I waited and waited and waited until I was almost 9 before I was saved. And so we have to understand that people, it's a process, and the Spirit will work in people's hearts. But we need to do our part, make sure that we are helping them along the way. And so, again, if they choose, here's the great news. If they choose to follow Jesus, if we're able to share with them the good news, and they say, you know what, I'm going to do that. I'm going to pray and ask him to come into my life. I'm going to trust, I'm going to declare, I'm going to be baptized. I'm going to do it. I'm going to take the step. You know what that means? We're done, right? Just check the box. We got one. Who's next? That's not what it means. That means we've just started making a disciple. That's the first step. And so we have to have that mindset as well, that now we're going to help these people in the journey. We do invite them to our small group, and we help them to learn about what it means to walk with Christ. So, huge deal. I want to just get it out there for us, because this is what we are about as Christians. And if we don't know how to do this, wow, we are really in trouble. So I want to put it out there for us today and really encourage you practically how we can be about sharing good news. Now, again, it's going to take time. And you'll mess up sometimes. Like I've shared with you how I've messed up, you'll mess up too. And that's okay. God will use that. But we trust as he is working, we want to do our part and be faithful to share. And so I encourage you, be prepared. Always be prepared to share the good news with gentleness and respect. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Lord, thank you for those people who influenced us, who helped us along the way as we were in a place where we didn't know our need. Holy Spirit, thank you for being a part of our journey, for calling us, for convicting us, for showing us our amazing Savior as the answer to this huge problem of sin. And so we thank you, and we depend on you for us to be good examples. Lord, I pray for those in the room maybe today who, even as we've talked through how to do this, they realize that they haven't done it. They haven't taken the step to say yes to Jesus, to receive the forgiveness that he offers, to turn away from the old life and to embrace the new life that Jesus gives. And so I pray that today will be the day where they make that declaration, Jesus is Lord. And they believe in their heart that you raised him from the dead. And they're saved. I pray that in that amazing, mysterious way that you work, people would be saved even this morning in this service. And so call them to yourself, Lord, and may they take that step. And may all of us be brave with our families when the time is right, with our coworkers, with the people we bump into on the street, or when your Spirit leads us, may we have the courage by your Spirit to share the good news. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for being here. Would you stand together? We're going to worship our amazing God.